Saddle Lake. Members of Saddle Cree Nation traveled to Edmonton on October 28 for a demonstration at the provincial legislature during Governor General of Canada Mary Simon's first official visit to Treaty 6 territory, which took place from October 25 to October 29. Treaty 6 encompasses the central portions of Alberta and Saskatchewan, according to information from the Crown Indigenous Relations and Northern Affairs Canada, which includes several First Nations communities in the Lakeland region. We've honored our treaty rights ever since, but they haven't played their part in honoring their due diligence to us as Cree Indian people in Treaty 6, says Saddle Lake Chief Jason Whiskey Jack, speaking with Lakeland This Week, later in the week. Saddle Lake Cree Nation is calling on the Crown to uphold the spirit and intent of the 1876 Treaty 6 Agreement, which has been systematically undermined by federal legislation and policies, according to information from the nation. Demand for direct representation. According to Whiskey Jack, Saddle Lake Cree Nation is a standalone nation entity within Canada. We are the first original people of this land, he said. And when Treaty 6 was signed in 1876, First Nations saw it as the establishment of a relationship of mutual respect and coexistence between First Nations and the Crown. It was a sacred pact meant to protect Indigenous lands, resources, and sovereignty. However, according to Whiskey Jack, the government's actions have repeatedly betrayed that agreement. Whiskey Jack said Saddle Lake Cree Nation has grown frustrated with the lack of direct dialogue with the federal government, feeling bypassed by intermediary organizations like the Assembly of First Nations, AFN, and the Confederacy of Treaty 6 First Nations. The groups were initially intended to facilitate direct access to the government but have instead become barriers to true representation, said the chief. Saddle Lake Cown. Pauline Hunter explained organizations like the Confederacy of Treaty 6 First Nations or the AFN were created to open doors for First Nations to speak with government and Crown representatives, but they were not created to speak for us. But what's happening is that the Confederacy of Treaty 6 didn't even let us know the Governor General of Canada is coming, added Hunter, explaining Saddle Lake found out about the Governor General's visit through a media outlet, leading the community to scramble at the very last minute. Thankfully, she said the Governor General had given Saddle Lake a 45-minute audience. Saddle Lake Cown. John Large echoed similar concerns, describing the government's approach as manufactured consent. He explained that Indigenous voices are seemingly represented through external organizations but are not heard directly. Large argued that these bureaucratic layers dilute the voice and specific needs of larger nations like Saddle Lake, which has a registered population of over 12,000 people. Funding. According to Hunter, bureaucratic layers also prevent funding from directly reaching First Nations. She said money allocated for First Nations should come straight from Canada's Treasury to the communities without passing through intermediaries like the AFN or the Confederacy. She believes the indirect funding process, which often includes administrative deductions, fails to honor the spirit of Treaty No. 6, where promises were made for essential services, including education, healthcare, and protection, but only a minimal $5 annuity per person has been consistently provided. Children. Bill C-92, an act respecting First Nations, Inuit and Métis children, youth and families, enacted in 2019, was also another issue of concern for Hunter. According to the Government of Canada, C-92 aims to address the overrepresentation of Indigenous children in Canada's child welfare system, and affirmation of the inherent right of Indigenous communities to exercise jurisdiction over child and family services, aiming to keep children connected to their families, communities, and cultures. While the Act establishes national principles such as the best interests of the child, cultural continuity, and substantive equality to guide the provision of these services, it also enables Indigenous groups to develop and enforce their own child welfare laws, reflecting their unique histories and circumstances, according to Indigenous Services Canada. But Hunter argues that Indigenous communities have always possessed the authority to govern their children and family services without federal legislation affirming this right. We've never needed any laws to tell us we can create our own law, or that we can claim jurisdiction of our children. We always had that, said Hunter. Acceptance of Bill C-92 means we're watering down our own sovereignty. Water. Another key issue raised during the demonstration and discussions with the Governor General included Bill C-61, First Nations Clean Water Act. According to information from the Government of Canada, the Act aims to establish national standards for drinking water and wastewater management on First Nations lands. Provisions under the Act also include recognition and affirmation of the inherent right of First Nations to self-government, specifically regarding jurisdiction over water and related infrastructure on First Nations lands, according to the information. This includes source water, drinking water, and wastewater management. While the federal government claims the Act also seeks to address long-standing water quality issues in Indigenous communities, the Act do not recognize clean drinking water as a basic right. The Act also do not include protections for the natural sources that bring clean water to First Nations lands, which could make it hard to maintain a safe water supply. Everyone is supposed to have clear, clean drinking water, said Saddle Lake Cowan. Mary Jane Cardinal, however, Saddle Lake in itself had a boil water advisory. First Nations did not surrender land. Saddle Lake's leaders also acknowledged that there are many members of the public who says that the First Nations have been conquered and do not have the right to sovereignty, or questions Treaty 6. Many citing the text of Treaty 6, which is also published in the Government of Canada website. The text indicates that the Cree and other Indigenous nations in the designated area, Treaty 6, agreed to cede, release, surrender and yield up their rights to their traditional lands to Canada. In return, Indigenous signatories were promised specific benefits, including reserve lands, support for farming, and assistance during times of famine or pestilence. But according to Hunter, Canada has never, ever shown a bill of sale to show that we've actually ceded, surrendered or sold the land. We've never done it. Hunter added, "Our land is our mother. You'd never give up your mother. You'd never sell your mother. You'd never." We're very strong with the traditional way of life and practice back then, during the signing of the treaty, Hunter said. We honor and respect our mother. So that's why we're trying to protect her as well. A direct message to the Crown. If issues persist, Saddle Lake Cree Nation expressed the intention to escalate its demands internationally, to potentially seek justice through organizations like the United Nations or the International Court of Justice. But Whiskey Jack expressed cautious optimism following Saddle Lake's meeting with the Governor General, who promised to direct Saddle Lake's grievances to the Crown. We're not only doing this for Saddle Lake Cree Nation. We're doing it for all of the Indian people who believe in the treaties, he added. We are fighting for what's right for all Indian people, and that's one of the messages that we'd like to give to the world. At the end of the day, we want peace, concluded the chief.